You also say in your book that, speaking of David's mighty men of valor, that these men had to learn to fight for their families, that this was a battle that they faced, and this is a battle that we too must face. Can you give some example of how these men fought for their families and then how we are to fight for ours?
Yeah, the example that comes to my mind is they were living in a village. They were coming back to this village from a battle. And as they approached the village, you know, what they saw in the distance was smoke. And instead of being greeted by the laughter of their children and the hugs and kisses of their wives, they were greeted by smoke and soot and devastation because an enemy had come and destroyed their village and had taken the women, the livestock, and the children away into captivity. And these men, initially, they wanted to punish David, but instead they talked to the Lord, and God said, go after them. And they went after the enemy, and after a long chase and a very ferocious battle, they were victorious. And the text says that not a child, not a head of livestock, everybody that had been taken was returned, and no one was hurt. Well, in that instance, these men were actually physically fighting for their families. And what I'm talking about in six battles in the battle fight for your family is the two things men must do. You know, God, most guys would die for their families. God calls us to live for them. And two things that we have to do. Number one, we have to love our wives. And in that way, we are fighting for them, and we need to bless our children. And in the book, you know, I give several simple tips as to the kinds of things we as guys can do to demonstrate to our wives we love them. And in terms of blessing our children, there's three ways we do that. We bless them with verbal affirmation, where we speak words into their life that build them up. With physical affirmation, we give them healthy, appropriate physical affection. And thirdly, what I call predictive affirmation, where we ask God to show us what it is about them that is unique and how He will uniquely use them in the world. And we speak that into their lives. We tell them how we think could see God using them. And when I put my boys to bed at night when they were young, you know, I would pray for them each night. And each night as I would pray for them, I would utter a prayer of faith as to how I thought God would use them. And interestingly enough, Luke, you know, now years later, how much these guys, what they are individually pursuing is consistent with that blessing that I spoke into their life predictively for so many years.
Wow, I think that's such a lost concept in not only our culture, of course, but also in our churches, that we just have lost that understanding of fatherly blessing and how that plays a dynamic role, not only in the building of a young man's personality and the building of his confidence or the building of his faith in God, but also build up their son in a way that is, they're not just my child, but they're God's child. They're going to do something for the kingdom here. This isn't just my child or my family. These are people that are going to grow up to be men of God who are going to impact
right.
The world. Yeah. Well, you also talk about how these mighty men of valor were men who fought for their friends. These men were willing to fight for one another.
Yeah, I love the story where David is, he and his men are in a cave on the side of a sandstone cliff, and below them is a valley. And on the other side of the valley is Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, where David grew up, is a well. Most scholars believe it's the well from which he drank as a boy. Well, as David is up in that cave, he says almost under his breath, I believe, oh, that someone would get me water from the well in Bethlehem. Well, the three mighty men hear what he says. They fight through enemy lines like NFL running backs playing against a Pop Warner football team. They get water out of the well, fight back through the enemy lines, and bring it back to David. David then takes the water and pours it out onto the floor of the cave as an act of dedication. Basically, he's giving it as an offering to God in thanks for these men who are willing to shed their blood for him. And what's fascinating about the story, Luke, is this. David was one of the most brilliant military minds in the Old Testament. I don't think David took his men into a place of seclusion without a supply of food and water. I don't think it was water he needed. I think it was encouragement that he needed. And I think that these men not only heard David's words, that is that he wanted water, but they understood the need. And the need that he was really expressing was a need for hope, a need for encouragement. And so these men, knowing that nothing would encourage him more than for them to demonstrate that they could get through the Philistines and bring him back water, was exactly what they did. And that's just a powerful story, because we want to have men with whom we have a close enough friendship that we are able not only to hear their words, but understand the need that their words represent and be able to meet that need. And that's what this chapter is about. It's building the kinds of friendships that enable us a platform to be an encouragement to other men and allow them to be there to encourage us. Let's go back to David. Isn't it interesting that when he was in despair, Jonathan was there to encourage him, that he was thirsty. The mighty men got him water. But when he became the king and ascended to power and he saw Bathsheba, no one was there to confront him because he had isolated himself. What if he had been close enough to one of his mighty men that when he said, "You guys go to battle, I'm staying home," one of them had said to him, wait a minute, David, I've seen the way you're checking out Bathsheba. Uriah is one of your mighty men, man. If you're going to stay home, that's fine. I'm staying with you, but I'm sleeping in front of your door. Alone I am weak, and locking arms I am strong. I thank God for my friends over the year. I thank God for Dave Carr and Rod Cooper and Bob Nowak and Lane Kagi and the guys over the years that have been accountability partners for me. But more than that, they've been close friends. Accountability is not someone policing my life. It's me giving someone permission to ask the questions that I know must be asked for me to be the man of God I want to be.